where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And now we're on to Lynn Rogoff with AmeriKids Productions, AmeriKids.com. You really got there first, right? So tell us how this came about and what you're doing exactly.
So I started out in the traditional film and television business for decades, and we made films for networks and for PBS and independent films. And I had this company that I started about kids in American history. So I told all these stories about teenagers doing heroic deeds when they were teenagers, and came across this one story about Sacagawea in the 90s. And I thought it was a great adventure story about the Lewis and Clark expedition, and wrote a screenplay and tried to sell it at that time. Nobody wanted a female protagonist. Nobody wanted a Native American. Nobody wanted to do 1800s. So I put it away. And then when podcasting came to the forefront and audio drama came about as a genre, I rewrote the entire thing, and we produced it during COVID as an audio drama with actors and musicians and editors. But I, coming from the film business, I was never really happy with audio alone. So when AI came into the fore and available for the general public, I started investigating AI as a solution for the video, because we were going back in time to 220 years ago. And so there was no way I could do it with a real location.
Right.
And so I went ahead and we did a pass at AI version of the story. And then we kept iterating on it as the tools became more and more sophisticated and iterated. We were able to tell a much more sophisticated story. And we ended up winning 12 film festivals. And we got it streaming on Amazon and Herflix and Red Nation. So who knew, you know, that it would actually become so successful?
That's pretty amazing. And your website is amazing. I do have to say at this point that I grew up in Seattle, and okay, I went to elementary school there, and the name of my elementary school was Sacagawea.
Oh, isn't that great? Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? Can you tell me about the stuff on your website? Because you have kind of an interactive Sacagawea there.
Yeah. So when we produced episode one, we're now in episode two. We're producing episode two. But when we produced episode one, we're using this software, DID, they showed us in 2023, oh, you can make an AI agent of the character and she can answer all the questions, and Lewis and Clark and York and Charbonneau will answer any question that the audience might have. And I was absolutely blown away by this solution because I had never seen that. So suddenly we're taking a character from 225 years ago and bringing her back to life, and all of the characters from the expedition, the major characters, and you can ask them any question you want. So we made the characters in Midjourney, and then we fed it to DID. And like I told you, we have found that the school is popular with museums and schools and libraries. So we have a EdTech solution as well as a commercial streaming solution.
So Lynn, I wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously a lot of work goes into producing an AI movie, but I would also imagine it's less than doing a full feature.
As an independent filmmaker who has an idea for a story and wants to tell it, in the traditional world, you have to go and raise hundreds of millions of dollars. You have to put together a cast of A-listers to raise that kind of money, hundreds of millions of dollars. And then you have to put together a whole package to get that kind of money. And then the story has to be so-called commercially fit into a genre that is saleable. A horror story, a dystopian story, sci-fi story. Those are the three main stories that are greenlit. So if you have something original and different, it becomes very hard to produce, to get the money to produce it. In our case, we said, we want to do this story. We believe in it. It's never been told. It's an exciting adventure. It's a female superhero story. So I was particularly interested in that. And that's what drove me to tell the story in the first place.
So in terms, though, of cinematic quality, how do you rank AI compared to traditional cinema?
AI video generating, which is a subcategory of AI, right? It's a very specific technology, has been iterating for the last 2 or 3 years. So it started out as very clunky, but now you can actually generate a scene that looks like it was shot on film. For example, we are doing the Rocky Mountains, crossing the Rocky Mountains in the winter, and they get caught in a blizzard. And we're able to generate a scene like that and make it look like these actors were really in that scene and that was really happening to them. I would say the weakest part right now in AI video generating is facial consistency, meaning that you can only generate really 10 seconds at the most of good video. So if you're making an hour film, how many 10-second videos
you have to string together a lot of clips in order
exactly.
to do that.
I'm going to give Dr. Porter a chance to chime in here. Being a brain guy, like, this is kind of interesting. Like, how does the brain process this?
Well, this is kind of foreign territory for me, filmmaking. I would love to learn more about it. I actually, there's been studies that show AI isn't so good in learning because people rely on the AI. Education actually means to draw from. So I think AI could be used for learning, but they're not using it correctly. You can't just get the answer from AI and put it down. They'd be like taking a copy of the test and just copying it over. You don't know what it said. You got to interact with it. I think when you, and I think she mentioned it earlier, prompts are what is the real key. And you have to be creative to do those prompts because you can get garbage in, garbage out, just like the brain. You know, if you don't ask your brain the right prompts, you're not going to get the right response either. So I think there's a lot going on with that. And I love where AI is going. You know, you can tell when people put the time and energy into it to make it good. I can tell a website that was made by AI that is all messed up and that doesn't look right. And I can tell you can use AI to correct things and to help you out. And I think it was also said earlier, when you're a domain expert, you can't let AI take over your domain expertise. You can have it assist you, like what I'm doing, I think is really good. I mean, when I have to write an article for, like I just wrote an article for the Washington Times, actually, it's going to be published. And I wrote it, I spoke it into Otter. I took my Otter and I edited it. I put it into ChatGPT and said, format it for the Washington Times. It reformatted my article. I went back through and cleaned it up. When I sent it, I don't think they're going to have to do anything. And then I used Grammarly to make sure that all my grammar was correct. I mean, there's so many things you can do with AI. I don't think there's one size fits all.
Right. I want to go back to Lynn. I think the prompts are really where human ingenuity is the most important right now in dealing with AI. Do you agree with that?
So talk about the IP. That is from my concepts with lawyers, that your intellectual property is how you construct the prompt. So if you're writing a prompt about Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea, what happens on the Columbia River and how they get hit by the rocks on the rapids, you're writing a scene, but you're telling it in the AI generating prompt engineering how to do the action and how to the camera looks and the lighting and what actions happen in first second and the second second. So that is where the intellectual property resides.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, that's the Thaler case that was decided by the Federal Circuit in 2023. And somebody had submitted a copyright application only naming AI as the copyright holder. And the Federal Circuit held that no, AI is not an author under the 1976 Copyright Act, and that in order to get a copyright, there has to be some sort of human and creative input. So the law is written in a way where AI is considered a tool, but not the ultimate creator. Now, how that evolves over time, we were talking about legal work before. I don't think it's there yet for legal work, but probably in 3 to 5 years, AI will probably write a pretty good patent application.
Out.
Well, so what right we now, do is we wrong. Save all of our prompting, iterating.
Uh-huh.
In case there's ever a problem, we have a history of how we came to generate that scene. It
That's
didn't
excellent.
Just happen by AI doing it. We did it. We told AI exactly what we want.
Yeah. That's so important. So how can people see this? Are you distributing this to schools? Can people, I know you stream from your website. What's the best way if somebody wanted to get this?
So we have AmeriKids YouTube site. HerFlix is streaming it, HERFLIX, for free. And Red Nation Channel is also streaming it. They have a subscription model. And Amazon in New Zealand and Australia, not in America, was streaming it. We were selling it briefly, Amazon America, but that concluded. And so right now, that's the best ways to see our product. And you can contact us through our AmeriKids, AmeriKids website if you have any questions or want to partner with us or are interested in us in any way. Chatbot resides on our website. Between all of those, YouTube and HerFlix and Red Nation and AmeriKids website, that's how you can see it these days.
What do you think is the future of cinema now that AI has become a real tool that can help with the creative process?
Well, it's very controversial right now. And the reason it's so controversial is the actors are concerned about their image. And I understand that you don't want to replicate some famous person's image. But the technology to produce a low-cost, scalable solution is just so appealing to filmmakers that it will start becoming more and more ubiquitous as time goes on and more people take the time to learn the technology. There is a learning curve. There's mm-hmm. a big learning curve, and you've got to take the time to investigate all the tools and how you do it and what it goes into generating video. So in our case, we used real actors for the voices and real composers and musicians for the music and real writers, myself, and directors, myself, for the writing and directing. So that's a case use where we have defined the workflow as a human creativity combined with AI.
There's this one commercial on that comes on, and I think it's an AI voice, and it's like fingernails down a chalkboard to me.
Right.
So I'm glad you're using real voices. That makes a huge difference.
Right. Yeah. And also the actors are very happy about it. And
yeah.
And also you get much more nuance mm-hmm. in the performance with a real actor.
Well, I think that your product is beautiful. I watched some of
Thank
it on your website.
Thank you.
I would really encourage people to go take a look at this.
Thank you.
Lynn Rogoff with AmeriKids Productions.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.